In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EW10 Global Catholic Radio Network. And happy Halloween, or even better, happy All Hallows Eve, which is more appropriate. That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about Halloween. Ooh, is this something that Catholics should celebrate, or should we demonize? You know, should we allow our kids to dress up or go out and get candy, or should we just stay home and pray? That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about Halloween today. We're going to talk about kind of the history of Halloween, how it came about, how it came to be on the date that it is today, and all of that. So I'm sure that's going to generate more than just a couple of phone calls today. people, you know, this topic is all over the spectrum when it comes to Catholics. But we're talking about Halloween today, or All Hallows Eve, which is actually the more accurate name for what today is all about. Would love for you to join us as usual, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're unable to call us, send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com, or you can even text the letters 58177, wait for our response, then text your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. So today, like I said, I'm home this week. So today was a day to bring the car to the shop for, you know, oil change, tire rotation, transmission, all that. I mean, transmission fluid, all that, you know, tune up and oil change and all that. So today's cardio day for me. So today's my 5-mile walk day. So I decided to start the walk from the auto shop, you know, which adds another a little bit to the walk today, which is fine. And so as I'm walking, I obviously there's a lot of people, houses and lawns decorated with Halloweens with ghosts and goblins and pumpkins and all that kind of stuff. And there was even one house that had like a haunted house. It's like you walk, well, I didn't do it, but you can. I walked by the house, but the gate that you walk in, you know, is like there's a door there, and they have this kind of like cardboard and wood makeshift cemetery and kind of house of horrors kind of a thing. So I'm guess they're gonna open that up tonight and allow some kids to go through. Looks like they may even go into the house and kind of walk through the house and you know, I'm sure get their candy or whatever. And then when I got to the park, I was doing laps around the laps around the park there on the track that they have, and I'm coming around a corner and I noticed, like, I saw a Bigfoot. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then I saw another Bigfoot. Well, it was obviously a male and female Bigfoot. I mean, they were together. Obviously, people getting into the spirit of Halloween, dressing up, and of course. Tonight, you know, there'll be kids that'll be out, you know, going around in costume and trick-or-treating and getting candy and all that kind of stuff. And I remember when I worked at the university, the kids used to come because, you know, a lot of times now it depends, you know, with a lot of the situation, a lot of cities, you know, some people, parents may not feel safe having their kids go around from house to house trick-or-treating because they don't know their neighbors as well as we used to back in the day, you know, when neighbors looked out for the kids and neighborhood, all that kind of stuff. I think those days are gone. But so because there's not a trust, an intrinsic trust of neighbors like we used to have before, so they, you know, some parents will take their kids to the mall to do trick-or-treating, or they used to come to the university and to the different dormitories, and the students used to give out, you know, treats to the kids and things that way. But on the flip side, there are a number of parishes, including the parish where my kids went to school, that parish where my kids went to school had a school, Holy Redeemer. And I don't know if they still do this because obviously my kids are no longer in school and they're adults now, but they used to have an All Hallows Eve celebration. And, you know, instead of going trick-or-treating, the kids used to come to the school, and the school had, you know, I mean, they had spider webs and things. I mean, kind of in the spirit of the season, but emphasizing also All Saints. So the kids dress up as their favorite saint, you know, and they would come, and they would have a little, you know, like bobbing for apples and all kinds of fun things like that and giving out candy. And I took the kids, I think a couple of years, I took the kids myself, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun for the kids. And so so that's what we're talking about today. Would love to hear your thoughts about Halloween. Now, I am going to talk about the history because some of you may not know the history of Halloween, where it came from, and really the it has both secular roots in the Celtic, ancient Celtic culture, but also in the Catholic culture as well. So we're going to take a look at both of those today. And one of the reasons why I love doing this show, I can't see, obviously, the guys behind the scenes. I can't tell whether Matt Gabinski, who's screening our calls, is wearing a costume today, or Charles Berry, you know. But I can see Ace McKay and our producer. Ace, it looks like you're just wearing an orange shirt.
This is my pumpkin.
Kind of like a pumpkin shirt.
I'm dressed as pumpkin spice. It's my go-to
pumpkin spice today. No mask or anything, but the hat. You know, you got the hat.
Well, I call this lazy Batman. You know, don't really want to fight crime today, so just kind of blend in with the front yard.
So, do you guys do anything for Halloween at all? Or
well, no? My kids are in show mode, and so normally they're hanging out with their friends. So my wife and I typically kind of pup tent outside of our garage and hand out candy. But the thing that the kids used to do is like all their friends would come to our house and then they would go as a group, and, you know, whatever dressed up costume they did. But I was fortunate enough growing up with parents who enjoyed the fun and festive side. So kind of like what you were talking about, like the fall festival-ish kind of thing. And our house as a kid was the house that everyone came to. So I like that my wife and I have created that same, you know, dynamic, because then afterwards I know where my kids are. And if their kids, their friends need to be picked up, then their parents just come pick them up from our house and everybody's safe. And they're exchanging the candy that they don't want for the candy they do. And then there's dad tax. And of course, you know, I take that to my little special bowl off to the side. But yeah, I mean, having those conversations with our kids, because obviously, you know, we're rooted in faith. So for us, you know, it's not about ghosts and goblins. It's about the fun of just being able to interact with neighbors and hang out with your friends and make the most of what could be an evangelistic outreach opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and one of the things that we do is when we give, we got the candy thing, you know, I'm sure kids are going to come to the house and we're going to give them candy and stuff like that. But yeah. We also have some holy cards. You're going to drop a holy card in there, along with the candy, you know, or you may want to drop, a little pamphlet on how to pray the rosary or something like that, you know. I mean, why, you know, use this opportunity to be an evangelizing witness, you know, and maybe to tell people really what All Hallows Eve is really all about, All Holy Eve. And, you know, like we talk about, well, the holiday season. Some people don't like to use that word holiday, but, you know, it really is a manipulation of the word holy day, right? So holy day has become holiday, right? Yeah. Secularized. And we're going to look at that kind of a similar thing, what happens with Halloween as well. But I totally agree with you. It's a wonderful opportunity to evangelize, to witness, you know, to the people. Even if your kids go trick-or-treating, fine. But what are they wearing? Right. You know, instead of going as a ghost or a ghoul or a goblin or a witch or something like that, you know, dress up as a saint. And some people say, well, who are you? Well, I'm Saint, you know, right. Josephine Bakita, or, yeah. you know, I'm St. Francis, you know, oh, wow. Yeah. And here's an opportunity. Maybe the child could say a few words about who that saint is.
Yeah.
A little education there for the person at the door giving out the candy.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many wonderful opportunities for us to share our faith this time of year.
Well, and I like, too, because there are neighbors that, you know, have either moved into the neighborhood and we haven't ventured out, or we've been going in, you know, as busy as our schedule is, you know, we're never hardly home anyway. So I love nights like this because it's a chance to get to know neighbors that are three houses down or two streets over or whatever. And who knows what, you know, kinds of relationships and friendships you birth out of that. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, you guys always have the big candy bars. We like your house, you know, or whatever,
yeah.
you know. But I'm all about, you know, making that connection and then going to the next level with it, you know.
Yeah, true. That's so true. I absolutely agree. And one thing, parents, you want to make sure that you make sure your kids brush their teeth really well tonight. Because, you know, that trip to the dentist, you know,
dentist
be like, I'm sure the dentists are rubbing their hands like, yes, this time of year, we're going to make some money off these kids' teeth.
Yeah. you know? Some dentists actually will buy the candy off the kids.
Yeah. I've
seen that happen.
We're talking about Halloween today, 833-288-EWTN.
Spooky guitar.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, when they want to establish a mood, you know, like in a haunting mood, you know, there's a certain mode that you use.
Yeah.
You know, chord progression modes or different chords that you use to get a darker feel, diminished chords, you know, augmented chords, things like that. It's kind of a creepy kind of a feel, but,
sure.
you know, depending on the progression stuff. So, yeah, I like that. That's good stuff.
I remember as a kid, my mom used to love to sing the Monster Mash song to me on Halloween. Because that's her generation. And so now every time I hear that song, I just think about my mom singing it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's great. Well, you listen to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. And it's All Hallows Eve today, colloquially known as Halloween. And we're going to talk about, should we Catholics, how should we treat today? Should we participate in it? Should we do our own thing? So we're going to talk about the history of Halloween. We're going to look at how it came about. We're going to look at you know, some of its roots and origins. And I would love to hear from you. What are some of the traditions that you have on All Hallows Eve? Or maybe you're doing some things in your parish or your Catholic school. Would love to hear from you today. The phone number to call to join us, as always, is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
This weekend, don't forget, Bear Wozniak is back Saturday night at 6 Eastern on EWTN Radio, continuing his discussion talking about the 12 rules for manliness, and where he asked the big question, where have all the cowboys gone? So if you want to find out more about that, make sure you check out Bear Wozniak, a very unique individual, and definitely knows how to challenge men well. So check that out right here Saturday nights on EWTN Radio.
All right. Well, on this All Hallows Eve, it's time for us to break open God's Word in the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. This is the part of the show where we break open God's Word in the Book of Sung Praises, better known as the Psalms, part of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, and that we hear in every holy sacrifice of the Mass. And today we're going to take a look at Psalm 56, at least part of Psalm 56. So if you want to listen to these Soulful Psalm segments, just go to EWTNPodcastCentral.com or listen on the EWTN app or your favorite podcast medium, iTunes or Spotify or something like that. All right. So the prescript is very interesting for Psalm 56. Okay, well, so first of all, Psalm 56 is in Book 2 of the Psalms, Psalms 42 to 72. Psalms 51 through 72 are attributed to David. Well, 72 says of Solomon, but it's thought that David wrote that psalm about Solomon. Okay, but so Psalms 51 to 72 are David, and so this is Psalm 56. The prescript is the entire first verse says this: for the choir master, intoned like the dove of distant places. So obviously David had this tune in his head. I want this psalm to sound like this other song called The Dove of Distant Places. Obviously, we have no idea what that sounded like, what that tune was like, what key it was in, nothing. So David wrote the psalm, gave it to the choir master, and instructed the choir master, I want it to sound like this other tune. And it also says, a michtam, so a michtam today means thing that covers. And it's interesting, when you see this word michtam in the prescript of the Psalms, it's only attributed to David. So it's not a michtam of Asaph, a michtam of the sons of Korah, a michtam of Jeduthun. It's only a michtam of David, right? So somehow, what this word meant back in the time when the Psalms were written, we don't know what it meant. What it meant back then, okay? We know we have a meaning for it now. It means a thing that covers, but we don't know what it meant back in the time when these Psalms were written. But somehow it's connected with David. Only Psalms written by David, and not all of them, but some of them have this miktam attached to it. It says, a miktam of David when the Philistines seized him in Gath. So, wait a minute. David was captured by the Philistines? Okay, what was going on here? Now, remember, in the very end of 1 Samuel 18, all the way through 1 Samuel 28, is this persecution of David by Saul. Okay, so we see David constantly running, escaping, hiding from Saul. So that's why you see many of these Psalms have this kind of theme of trusting in God's mercy and defeating his foes and overcoming his enemies, right? Because he's writing a lot of these Psalms during this time. So one of the things that he does, he escapes to Gath. Now you ask yourself, why? Wait a minute. He defeated Goliath the Goth, he embarrassed them, defeated them over and over again. Why would he now run to Goth, run to the Philistine king? That makes no sense. Ah, but think about it. No one would think of looking for you there, right? I mean, if you think about it, like Saul would not think, oh, where would David go hide? Oh, yeah, he's going to go hide with the Philistines who he killed, thousands of them. He would never think to look there. But also think of the boldness of David to go to a place where his enemies were to seek shelter. So David went to the Philistines. He went twice. We see in 1 Samuel, right in 19, he goes to Gath. And then obviously they were not happy that he was there. And so he pretended to be insane and, was foaming at the mouth and all that kind of stuff. And they said, why'd you bring me this guy? This guy's a nutcase. Get him out of here. You know, so he threw him out. But then he ended up going back again several chapters later in about 1 Samuel 27. He goes back to Gath again. To the king at the was Asich, who was the son of Moach, king of Gath. And so he went there, and interestingly enough, the king of Gath, Asich, actually gave David a city that he could dwell in. He gave him one of the Ziklag. He gave him a town, Ziklag, and David was there. He brought two of his wives with him. He brought some other people with him who were loyal to David, and they went with him, and they established themselves in this little town called Ziklag that was given to them by the king. Again, because think about it. The king had tremendous respect for David because he was such a tremendous warrior, you know? It's very, very, very interesting. I could more about that, but let's try and get into some of the psalm here as well. So it starts in Psalm 2, verse 2. Have mercy on me, O God, for people assail me. They fight me all day long and oppress me. My foes assail me all day long. Many fight proudly against me. So we see here what's called the synonymous parallelism, where the cola in verse 2 and the cola in verse 3 kind of mirror each other. Okay, so he's asking God for mercy. Why? Because he's being assailed, as we just talked about. He's being heavily persecuted, and people are constantly fighting him, constantly oppressing him, assailing him, and he's asking for God to show him mercy, to show him clemency. And again, we cry out to God all the time in our time of need as well. And in verse 4, on the day when I shall fear, I will trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I shall not fear. What can mere flesh do to me? Dad, I love David. He has this pattern. He cries out to God for help. He explains what the situation is. And then he says, okay, look, God, I need your love. I need your mercy. I'm being persecuted. But you know what, Lord, I'm not going to fear. Even though I'm going through this right now, I'm not going to fear, because I trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not fear. You know, so we're talking about Halloween today, and there's always this talk about witches and ghosts and goblins, and I'm sure some people will watch scary movies, you know, the Exorcist, or, you know, Friday the 13th or whatever, you know, but even if there's some dark things going on around this time of year, we don't have to fear, because our God is greater than any of the lower gods, small g gods of the culture, whether those be occult forces or demonic forces. Our God is greater than all this. We should put our trust in him, trust in the church, trust in the sacraments, most especially most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, which is the fullness of Christ's presence with us on earth, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And it continues, all day long they distort my words, right? I love that. So the distorting of words, and we see that happening in our culture today, right? Redefining things and trying to twist and distort and pervert reality to match the cultural narrative, right? So we have to redefine marriage, redefine gender, redefine what it means to be a man, redefine all these kinds of things. And so what we need to do is to look to objective truth, to look to things that are true in and of themselves, not because I want them to be true, but they are simply true. Some of those truths are, is that men are males, right? And women are females, you know, and that's just truth. Marriage is a man and a woman. That's the objective truth, because those are truths that come from God himself. God who, as David says, the God that I trust, the God that I praise, the God that I honor, the God that I respect, that's the God that we give worship and honor to today. And he continues, they band together in ambush. They watch my very footsteps as they wait to take my life, right? So again, David is running. David's living in fear, but he's also living with the confidence that no matter what happens to him, he's always looking over his shoulder, right? But no matter what is happening, he's going to trust that whatever happens is part of God's will. And that's the kind of trust we need to have, right? We yes, and there's some things that we do fear, that diagnosis that we just got from the doctor. In fact, it's just a very, very good friend of mine, a childhood friend of mine, who's also a deacon, you know, is going through some things now. You know, I have other friends. So I mentioned yesterday this family that was part of my parish that moved out of the area, you know, dealing with the loss of a loved one in that family. There's just so many people struggling with so many things. And it feels like, you know, that we're being ambushed, that we're being, you know, that evil is winning, but it will never win, because our God is an awesome God, as the song says. Our God is greater than any force of evil in this world. We have to place our trust in him. We're talking about Halloween today on Beacon of Truth. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-8255. EW10. That's 833-288-3986.
Never underestimate a scary theme from a TV show. Like, this reminds me of the Munsters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that show. That was hilarious. Yeah, that
like Munsters with a sense of humor I could deal with,
yes,
right?
They're
not,
absolutely.
They're not frightening.
Absolutely.
Just trying to grow their or kill their tulips, you know. Yes.
Yeah, you know how I love was Grandpa, man.
Oh,
that
was
dude
great.
Was hilarious.
The best.
Great memories. Great Halloween memories, I'll tell you. All right, well, I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're talking about Halloween, or more appropriately, All Hallows Eve. What is today really about? How should we approach this from our Catholic faith? Is this something we should allow our kids to participate in? Or should we, just go to the parish and pray? Or if the parish is having an All Saints celebration, should we do that instead? Let's talk about Halloween. We'll talk about some of the history and the background. And would love to hear what you do in your family, how you're participating in this day today. The phone number to call to be with us is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, Eternal Life Radio, they're celebrating today, but for different reasons. 12 years with EWTN Radio, serving in Fitchburg and Shirley, Massachusetts, as Marianne and the team there at WQPH, helping to continue to keep the Catholic message alive. And thanks for your support. If you live in that area and you're supporting Catholic radio, we just want to give a big shout out to you from your friends here at EWTN Radio.
All right. Well, I remember when I was a kid, I still have some pictures of some of the Halloween costumes I wore. I was a pirate. One year I was a vampire. I was a Cyclops from the X-Men. He was my favorite X-Men character.
Was the vampire during the Fro days?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
That's how I envision it, even if it wasn't. So.
I like this idea, the vampires too. I kind of had a little, not an obsession, but I the idea of the drinking the blood. But now I make a connection with the Eucharist, which is awesome.
Sure.
Those are some of my favorite costumes I wore as a kid on Halloween. What is this whole Halloween thing? Because, I mean, let's be real. Halloween has experienced an increasingly virulent, I guess I want to say, virulent love-hate relationship among Catholics over the past two decades or so, particularly since the advent of things like Harry Potter, right? And so judging from the number of articles and blogs, podcasts on this topic, you know, Catholics seem to be divided into two camps, right? The first says, reject Halloween at all costs, since it's the devil's holiday and only serves to corrupt the hearts and minds of our children. That's one hand. And then on the other hand, some Catholics say, oh, come on, what's the big deal? There's nothing wrong with kids playing make-believe and having fun and getting some candy. It's not like they think Halloween is for real, you know? So that's kind of the way a lot of Catholics kind of see what today is all about. But I believe that this time of year presents our children with a faith learning opportunity to emphasize it shouldn't be about Halloween itself, but the Feast of All Saints. That's the key. They need to know the history of All Saints, its kind of connection with Halloween, and how it's become distorted by the secular culture. Okay? So, in a nutshell, the Feast of All Saints was established shortly after the implementation of religious pluralism in the 4th century. So, in 313, the Emperor Constantine issues the Edict of Milan, which allowed for religious plurality. In other words, Christians can now openly celebrate their faith. It was not the official religion of the state at the time of the Edict of Milan. That's a common myth. It was after Constantine's death that Christianity was established as the religion of the state. But that was not the case during the life of the Emperor Constantine. All he did was allow for religious pluralism. All right. And so when that began to happen and Catholics could finally celebrate their faith openly, they decided they wanted to formally honor the martyrs, right? Those who gave their lives for the faith. All those people for centuries that had died for their faith and died in secret because they couldn't openly share their faith. They died because they couldn't share their faith, and or they shared their faith knowing that the consequences could be death. So the Catholics want to honor those who died for their faith. And so the Feast of All Saints was established and celebrated on May 13th. Okay, so originally, May 13th was the original day for All Saints. But in the year 844, so about the middle of the 9th century, Pope Gregory IV moved the feast of All Saints from May 13th to November 1st, right, where it remains to this day. So since the middle of the 9th century, all the way now to the 21st century, All Saints has been on November 1st. And so this is where the connection to Halloween comes in, right? So so back in the time of the Celtics, right, November 1st marked Samhain, right? Samhain is the beginning of the Celtic winter. So Samhain was the Celtic lord of death because his name literally meant summer's end, okay? The end of summer, summer's end. What happens during this time of year? The days get shorter. It gets, there's more darkness than there is light. It gets, right, colder. Right, all these things happening. The winter is settling in, and so since winter is a season of cold and darkness, there's automatically a connection there with death, right? And so the Celtics made a connection between this time of year and human death. Right, so you're already starting to see a little bit of connection, right? Because November is the month for us, All Saints, All Souls. Remember those in purgatory. So there's already a little bit of some roots here you can see. So on the eve of Samhain, right? So Samhain was November 1st. On the eve of Samhain, which is today, October 31st, was a time of Celtic pagan sacrifice, right? So they believed that Samhain would allow the souls of the dead to return to their earthly homes that evening. Okay, so they believed that they offered sacrifice on October 31st, that Samhain, which is the Celtic god of death, would allow those who have died to return back to their homes for that evening. But there were also ghosts, witches, goblins, elves that came to harm the people, particularly those who had inflicted harm on them in this life. Right, so to protect themselves from these marauding evil spirits on the eve of Samhain, the Druids were the priests and the spiritual teachers of the Celts. They built a huge New Year's bonfire, right? And they offered burnt sacrifice of crops, animals, and even human beings. Right. And so people sometimes during this burning, this bonfire, they wore costumes of animal heads and animal skins. OK. All right. So despite the spread of Christianity throughout the known world, now that the Edict of Milan came, Christianity could be celebrated and start to spread throughout the world. The collective memory of some of these Celtic customs remained. So, of course, the Celtics died out, the Druids died out, but there was a collective memory of some of these things that happened during this time of year. So the Christian vigil of the Feast of All Saints, or all, the vigil, right, the vigil of the Feast of All Saints, which is called All Hallows Eve, All Holy Eve, okay, right? Where does that word come from? Remember in Our Father, hallowed Eve. be thy name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy be thy name. So All Hallows Eve is All Holy Eve celebrated on the 31st. But because some people, not Christians, but some people connected All Hallows Eve with the Celtic practices of the Eve of Samhain, it became known as Halloween, right? That's the kind of the quick and dirty history of Halloween. So instead of observing the Christian custom of remembering deceased loved ones in a special way, which we still do as Catholics today, the culture exploited the elements of pagan rituals and practices to create what has become now in our culture basically a holiday. I mean, you go from Halloween to Thanksgiving to Christmas. There's almost no break in between as far as the secular culture is concerned. So it's, in a sense, become its own holiday. But nevertheless, it's clear that All Saints evolved out of a purely Christian ethos and not from pagan idolatry. All right? So that's why some people have such a negative feeling about Halloween because, of, well, it's pagan. It's pagan. Well, I just shared with you the history. It's not directly tied with, again, it's the culture taking those pagan things and associating it with Christianity, but that wasn't the intent or the purpose at all. So we're talking about Halloween today, and would love to hear from you. What are you doing for Halloween? How are you introducing your kids to what's going on today? Are we practicing All Hallows Eve? Maybe there's something going on in your parish. I'd love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Xenia, who's a regular contributor watching us on YouTube, says that she says, my son's area schools collect the unwanted candy for the bus drivers. The little toys that they collect, you know, they collect the candy, unwanted candy, they give it to the bus drivers, and then the little toys go to the classroom for an award table, right? So that's not a bad idea at all, you know. Like I said, what we're doing tonight is when we give out the candy, we're going to drop in a little holy card or drop in a little, you know, a little extra something in that bag. So when they open the bag and have the candy, they will also have a little reminder, spiritual reminder of really what Halloween or All Hallows Eve is truly about. And that's what we're talking about today. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3988. 86. So what do we do about the kids, right? When it comes to today, to what extent and what level parents choose to incorporate Halloween into their lives of their children is a prudential decision. Okay. Kind of like Christmas and Santa Claus, right? I mean, all those are kind of prudential decisions. However, as we've talked about earlier, Halloween is the occasion to help children not only appreciate the significance of this time of year, but to remember and honor those who have gone before us, right? Marked with the sign of faith, those who have died, baptized, but also to challenge them to become saints in their own lives, right? So this is a wonderful opportunity to teach our children about what this year is really all about. So in order to become saints, we don't have to become great theologians like St. Augustine or Thomas Aquinas. We don't have to be martyrs like Saints Felicity and Perpetua. We don't need to be great leaders, right, like St. Louis, who was the King of France, or St. Benedict, the founder of the Benedictines. We don't even need to perform great works of charity like Mother Teresa of Calcutta or St. Martin de Porres, the Dominican friar from Peru. In order to become saints, we must allow ourselves to be totally consumed by the fire of God's absolute love, right? We become saints by fulfilling Christ's command to love the Lord our God with our whole heart, all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, right? Those are the lessons that we could be teaching our kids during this time of year. Would love to hear from you about how you're celebrating All Hallows Eve today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Wakita, a first-time caller, is calling from Birmingham, Alabama, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Wakita, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I just tune in. And my question is, because I'm a little confused about it, and I just tune into your station, but October the 31st is a pagan holiday. If we participate in any way on the whatever name, I'm still participating in that pagan holiday.
Okay, yeah, great question, Wakita. Now, you may not have heard my kind of introductory remarks, but I just quickly, for your benefit, Wakita, I've mentioned before that the Feast of All Saints was moved by Pope Gregory IV from May 13th to November 1st. Okay, so November 1st also coincided with the ancient Celtic holiday of Samhain, which is the Lord of death, okay? So it wasn't done on purpose to, like, you know, Christianize a pagan practice, okay? Because the Celtics were gone by the time this move happened. And so those there's some feasts in the church we also that are so great feasts that we celebrate what's called the Vigil. So the day, like, for example, the Easter Vigil. So the Saturday before Easter Sunday or Christmas Eve. Right, we celebrate. You know, we can celebrate the day before Christmas. Same thing with All Saints. We have All Hallows Eve, All Holy Eve. The problem is, Wakita, what the secular, not the church, not the people of faith, what the secular culture has done has taken the ancient pagan practices of Samhain and the ritual. And the rituals surrounding the eve of Samhain and incorporated that into Halloween. Okay, so they took it's actually the opposite. They took the Christian practice and paganized it. So it wasn't like the Christians took the pagan thing and Christianized it. They took the secular culture took the Christian holiday and paganized it. That's the issue. So, but if you let your kids go out with costumes and go and get candy, you're not celebrating Samhain. You're not celebrating the devil. You're not celebrating any of that stuff. Now, there are witches and warlocks and people like that who do, like for them, today is like Easter. Today is like their high holy day, right? Today. But we have nothing to do with that as Christians, as people of faith. That is not on our radar at all. So if the kids go up in costumes or go out and get candy, we're not celebrating anything that the secular culture or the witches or the warlocks, anybody's celebrating. Again, they took the Christian time of year, this All Saints and All Hallows Eve, and they turned it into a pagan holiday. But again, by going out and trick-or-treating, we're not actually saying, it's because it has to do with intent. You're not intending to call upon the spirits of the of Satan or anything like that by sending your kids out trick-or-treating, right? So that's really what these, that makes sense, Wakita?
Kind of, sort of. So are you saying October the 31st were originally Christian?
Yes, it was called All Hallows Eve, right? I talk about in the Our Father, right? Hallowed be thy name. Holy be thy name. So what they did was they took All Hallows Eve and the secular culture connected it with the pagan practices of the Celtics, of the ancient Celtics, and they turned it into Halloween. But really, the foundation of Halloween is All Hallows Eve. It's a Christian vigil to remember tomorrow, which is All Saints Day. So that's how that came. That's how that came about.
Okay, so in other words, everything that our God Creator made, created, whatever, Lucifer substitute, imitate. So
well, that's what's
going on with this.
Well, in a sense, you could say that. I mean, you can say that, yes. So the things that God has established, you know, some of the secular cultures tried to distort and twist and pervert. Like God said, marriage is a man and a woman. The culture's twisting and distorting it into something else. God says that male and female, he created them. The culture now is twisting and distorting it and trying to change it into something else. Halloween, All Hallows Eve, was the vigil of the Feast of All Saints. We remember all those who have died that have gone before us. We remember them in a very special way. Again, the culture has taken that and twisted it and distorted it and turned it into something else, paganized it, into Halloween.
Okay, so when we as Christians send our children out looking like a devil, a witch, or whatever, whatever, are we not celebrating?
That's the thing. I think, Waquita, that's a prudential judgment. I don't think the intent. Now, if you dress your kids up, yes, we're intending to worship the evil spirits and call upon the spirit of evil when we go to these houses to get candy. You know, I don't think that's the intent when you send your kids out. I think a lot of parents don't understand the origins of Halloween, and so they innocently send their kids out there just to get candy. It's just a fun thing to do. But what I was saying is that a lot of churches are using this time of year to recover the Christian foundations and origins of All Hallows Eve. So a lot of churches will have, tonight, they'll have parties at the parish for the kids, where the kids dress up as saints. They dress up not in like the devil or demons or monsters, but they dress up as saints. And they come to the church and they can have a party and celebrate the saints and celebrate all those who have died for Christ or have, you know, have been the wonderful teachers and the great men and women that we celebrate and honor in the church. So that's kind of the juxtaposition. Does that make sense, Waquita?
Yeah, I love the way you said dress up as saints, which all believers should know to do what you all doing, dress up as saints, not the other. So, yeah, thank you for explaining all of that to me, and we just keep praying for each other.
Yes, Waquita, thank you so much for your call. I know it's the first time you're calling. I hope it's not your last time. Keep listening, Waquita, because it's people like you that we love doing this show for. Okay, wonderful call from Waquita. If you want to join Waquita in sharing your thoughts about Halloween, we'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You know, Ace and I were talking during the break there about, you know, when we used to come home, because it was me, my brothers and my sister, you know, we used to take our candy and everybody used to spread their candy out and we used to trade, mm-hmm. you know, I like this one, I don't like this one. We used to trade candy and we used to have the contest to see how long you could keep your candy for.
Right.
You know, or like you said, you used to hide the candy, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, because my son, when he was younger, we had to, because otherwise, you know, he would take it in his room. And then when we, even though we would say, don't eat more than four or five pieces, you know, the next morning, his floor is covered in wrappers. And, you know, the bag that he took, you know, is completely empty. So there's no hiding at that point. But the other thing, too, is we would also hide it, and then we forget where we put it. So, like, Valentine's would come around, and we'd still have Halloween candy just because we forgot his stash. We're like, oh, man, why would I put it there?
You know, my brother used to steal my candy all the time because I was very judicious with my candy.
Yeah.
And sometimes I did not have the record. My other brother, Andrew, had the record for how long he could keep his candy. He kept it all the way to Easter. So when we got the Easter baskets with the Easter candy, he still had candy from Halloween. I'm like, dang, man.
Just repackage it, right?
I know, right?
Same candy, different wrapper.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Wonderful memories. But I do want to make sure I get this in before the end of the show today. We have to be careful if you're going to Mass today or tomorrow. Again, All Hallows Eve or the Feast of All Saints, really watch when people are receiving communion. As I mentioned before, this is a high holy days for Satanists, for devil worshipers. This is their Easter their version of Easter, right? And they, and so what they do is they celebrate dark masses. So they're going to look to steal the Eucharist out of the church. So make sure, especially if you're a priest or a deacon, or if you're an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, you're watching that the person is actually consuming the Eucharist before they walk away from you, right? That's extremely, we do not want our Lord desecrated during this special time of the year. I think we got just, oh, maybe not. I know Emmy's trying to call from just north of me in Spokane, Washington. She wants to mention that her boyfriend was wondering why it's disrespectful to dress as Jesus for Halloween. Well, you could dress as Jesus for Halloween. I mean, again, if you dress as your favorite saint, you can also dress as Jesus, who is the who is God, right? Why not? You know, and people say, who are you? Well, I'm Jesus, you know, and but also share with them some of the attributes of why they want to dress up as Jesus. What are some of the things about the Lord's life that they want to incorporate into their own life as well? All right. Great show today. Tomorrow, we're talking about All Saints. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EW10.com/radio. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you and keep you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.